welcome in everyone to Flyover Footy. My name is Matt Baker, joined by my friend in soccer, Santiago Beltran, for a very special edition of Flyover's Fallout. We're live at City Park following the 1-0 St. Louis City victory over Austin FC. Santi, how you doing after this huge victory?
Doing great, Matt. We don't get to do this very often. We did one last year, but we didn't go live, so this is a step forward. But I know great. It's great that the team was able to get its first win after being winless for 5 games, and special because the team is going to Kansas City next week, and it's a boost in confidence. And the most important, Joao Klaus reunited with the goal, which is great for the team too.
Huge for Klaus to get that goal, get that finally, that elephant off his back, the thing that's been haunting him and the team for all these games. I mean, this isn't just a victory for City, 3 points on the score sheet, in the standings, but it's huge for Klaus. It's something that they can build off going into Sporting. So it's another thing that is in the back of everybody's mind, is just the fact that we're playing Kansas City next weekend, and to now be above them in the table going into them, having this momentum, confidence, huge boost. But for our podcast listeners and for everybody who's tuning in on Instagram Live, which we're trying out for the first time here, let's start like we usually do. This is going to be kind of a different show, obviously, because we're not only live right after the game. Initial gut reactions are going to be galore in this. Less stats focus, less stats heavy, because there's less prep time. But for a Sunday afternoon match, I think it's kind of appropriate. Everybody's kind of excited from this. You've got a lot of just jubilation that's going on this victory. So starting lineup, Santi, so without notes, because this is probably the first time I've ever done a flyover with zero notes in front of me. If memory serves, we had Roman Berkey, Anthony Markanic, Tim Parker, Kyle Hebert, Thomas Totland, Chris Durkin, Tomas Ostrak, Celio Pompeu, Indiana Vasilev, centrally, Rasmus Alm, and then Klaus. What did you make of that starting 11?
Well, I had been thinking this week about the possibility of seeing Indiana Vasilev centrally, just because he had been doing really well on the right side, but at the same time, the team wanted Rasmus Alm to play. So when I thought about it, I was like, oh, maybe he will play centrally. I don't think he will go to the left again. Celio Pompeu has been doing really well there. So to me, it was a great decision, and he had a great game. I know the people voted Joao Klaus as the man of the match, but my man of the match was Indiana Vasilev.
Indiana Vasilev seemed like he tied everything together really well. But Bradley Carnell mentioned post-game that there's probably not a single player that he could name over any other that played overly well. So he was asked to spotlight a few players, and you know, he'd mentioned the entire 11, every single player. And Anthony Markanic continues to hammer home his ownership of that left-back spot. Thomas Totland on the right side is a stalwart at this point. You have your center-back duo, which isn't a new duo. Tim Parker and Kyle Hebert played a lot last year in the first third half of St. Louis City season and got them where they were to start off last year. So they were almost a return to form for those two. And then the midfield, Chris Durkin, Tomas Ostrak, they've really established a good partnership. They've really established themselves in the absence of Edu Luvin as something that's not only exciting in and of itself in the midfield, but they connect the line so well. And Tomas Ostrak continues to show his growth as a midfielder, continues to prove that he can be a different type of player than what City signed. Before we even get into the attack, Santi, did you see more of what we were expecting out of this back line midfield? Anybody noteworthy to you?
No, everybody did a great job, but I just want to talk about Tomas Ostrak because he keeps growing into that role. I talked to Indiana Vasilev earlier this week, and he just had great things to say about Ostrak. He said he's the most technical player on this team, and I believe he can play in any position, and he's taking that chance and growing into it every game. And it was a good game by him. He participated on the goal too, so I like that he keeps growing into that position.
And who knows what his future holds after Edu Luvin returns. But when all is said and done, I think we're going to look back at Tomas Ostrak in this set of games as one of the guys who really stepped up, showed something new, showed a new dimension to his game, did exactly what Bradley Carnell asked of him in the preseason. And I think fans are going to walk away feeling a lot a lot of relief off Tomas Ostrák, because last year there was some questions about what we were seeing given his salary, given the expectations, maybe sliding in as the 10. None of that really took hold with the rise of AZ Jackson, but this new midfield, number 8, 6'8", Tomas Ostrák, central midfield, he's a player I think we're all excited to see, and he's connecting the line so well, which further allows you to keep a player like Indiana Vasilev in the attack. You're not bringing him back. We mentioned a few weeks ago that he's basically off the table as far as we're concerned when it comes to bringing him back into the central midfield. He's really found his home on the wing, it seemed, but tonight we showed exactly what we saw last year, starting with that SKC game in May of 2023, his ability to play centrally underneath Klaus. And when a player like him plays centrally, I didn't just see the typical playmaking 10, but he's moving from channel to channel. He's helping to connect both sides of the wings to the midfield. And so there's a different facet to this Indiana Vasilev playing 10 than I think a lot of players in his position would do in a different system.
Yeah, he moves really well, and at times, before the game, I was like, well, maybe he will start centrally, but maybe between him, Celio, and Rasmussen, they will continue moving, and maybe they will switch sides. We didn't really see that, but he can play, and he has shown that he can play on the left side too. He had a good game last week, even though I think he's better on the right than on the left. He knows that whatever the coaching staff asks him to do, any position, he will do his best. And he mentioned that last week when we talked. But I'm very happy to see Indiana playing so well and contributing. He's not happy that he's not getting assists and goals, but those will come. And you can contribute in different ways, too.
And the opportunities were there. I think that's one of the things that you walk away from with this, is that the starting 11 produced a lot of the chances. It wasn't a 27 shot outburst, but there were moments, especially in the first half. One of the things that I noticed in the first half is things were progressing well into the final third, but they were just off. A few connections. There was one in particular from Totland to Klaus that I remember Klaus was just upset with himself at, as he kind of was trying to go centrally and Totland delivered it to the back post and there was space. And the players just seemed like they were doing what they were used to with the ball so far this season, but they were just a few seconds off from each other there in the first half. And this is all from the attack, right? This is what we were wanting them to build off of in their 27 shot outburst against Dallas, knowing that Austin had been so effective in the past two games in their possession, in creating chances themselves with Sebastian Driussi. You wanted to be on the offensive a little bit, but the way this game really played out was more of a quintessential St. Louis City game, right? I saw low possession numbers for City. They had sub 50%. You had plenty of shots. You had plenty of chances, but you also had one of the best defensive performances of the entire season, right?
Yeah, third clean sheet this season for Roman Berkey. Just looking at the shots, St. Louis had 11 shots, 4 on goal. Austin only had zero shots on goal this time. And St. Louis was very organized defensively. And for moments of the game, it was impressive. And Rasmus Alm talked a little bit about it. He was like, yeah, they had the ball and they weren't creating much, so we let them have the ball. During moments of the game, the team chose to press, but I like that discipline of not pressing like every time. And it was also a game, 85 degrees or over that. So it's difficult to play in the heat too. So I think the team also regulated that. But defensively, great performance, zero shots on goal for Austin. And the defense had a great performance. As you said, like every player did really good things today, and it's difficult to say, okay, this was the best defender, this was the best midfielder, but a great effort by the team.
And this coming from our defense that was missing Joachim Nilsson for all but a few minutes of the game. And so it's impressive that Kyle Hebert, I think, was able to step in so clinically, so seamlessly into this back line where he was a stalwart, like we said, last season. And he spoke post-game about the time he spent with City 2, getting back into form, not playing before that, but really just finding his minutes there with City 2. And although the competition is different and the level of talent is obviously different between City 2 and City, you really have to credit Kyle Hebert for just being able to step back in like he belongs there. He's the kind of player who's been in the system for years. He's an OG City 2 player. Yeah. He knows exactly what Bradley Carnell, what Lutz want to see from him, and he's able to step in seamlessly like Josh Yarrow and pick up the slack. And so the depth of our center backs, again, shining through, even if quantity-wise, they weren't necessarily there. And that has to be another marquee thing for St. Louis City to carry forward, is regardless of the availability of Joachim Nielsen, you have to feel confident with Kyle Hebert, Tim Parker as our back line. But a lot of that comes from having Roman Berkey behind them.
Yeah.
And Roman Berkey, I mean, he spoke post-game about what his role was with this, but what did you see from Roman Berkey this game?
Well, Roman Berkey always very composed. He didn't have a lot of action just because Austin didn't create much, but he's always that last man in the back line, and you can see him going outside the box a lot of times to get some balls. He's used to that, and it's just a sense of security you get with him on goal. You think, oh, okay, Josh Jarre is out, Joachim Nielsen still maybe not able to go since the beginning, but you have Kyle Hebert, who last year when his number was called, he did really well as a center back, even had a few games as a left back that he also performed, and it's great to see that. And Bradley Carnell has said it multiple times, this is like kind of a plug-in system where if one guy is not available, you bring the next man up, and they know what they need to do, and they execute it really well. And that's what Kyle Hebert did today. And when he had to go out because he was cramping, then you saw Joachim Nielsen return, which is also a positive.
That cramping was interesting. I think it was Hebert that noted, maybe it was Carnell post-game, who noted and credited Kyle Hebert with the fact that in that moment in the second half when he came off after cramping, he went back on. Because the refs didn't allow the subs, and so we were down to 10 men there for a period of time in the second half. It wasn't that long, but Kyle Hebert, credit to him. If you notice, he ran back onto the field. He ran on gingerly, but he was wanting to provide a body to ensure that we weren't down a man in a critical moment. So being up only one goal, this isn't a situation where you can look to park the bus like that. You're still facing a dangerous Austin team who has been a little more aggressive in the second half. And so full credit to Kyle Hebert for his ability to push himself to get back on the field, to put it all out on the line for the team and do exactly what the team needed. And this may be a good point to pivot to one of the big questions that the team had before we get into the goal, before we get into some of the stats in the game. Picking up off the starting 11, one of the, if not the biggest question the fans had wasn't just he's missing from the starting 11, but he's missing from the entire match day roster, and that was Sam Adeniran. Santi, what did you think initially, gut reaction, when you saw that Sam Adeniran wasn't a part of the match day roster? And, you know, the first time I saw any comment was from Tom Timmerman pregame, where he noted that it was coach's decision. But what did you hear? What were you thinking when you saw this?
Yeah, so when I got the lineup, I also was told that it was a coach's decision to just wait until the lineups were announced. But I started to think what could be going on. Could be multiple things. Could be discipline, or one thing that crossed my mind, maybe there are advanced talks in a possible sale. But Bradley Carnell didn't shed much light on it on the post game. What exactly did Bradley say?
It was a very quick comment. Yeah, it was a very quick comment. Bradley Carnell said he wanted to focus on the players who are here, who are willing to give their all for the team, and that's all he was willing to say for it. So it definitely sounded like there was much more than meets the eye. It did not sound like this was a trade as imminent. It didn't sound like this was a positive type of reaction or an injury at all. Definitely not that. So coach's decision could mean a lot of things. We do have some history with St. Louis City in regards to not seeing a player and not hearing a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that history is Owen O'Malley last year, who broke team protocol, was suspended for a period of time. We heard a little bit more after on him, so I don't want to jump to conclusions to that regard, to that extent. But when Bradley Carnell is brushing off a question about not including his leading goal scorer, tied leading goal scorer at the time, in the match at all, and a player who has been so desired by City fans to start, see more time, for his only comment to be, I want to focus on the players who are here, who are willing to give their all, it definitely sounded like something happened in the past few days, maybe, because we didn't get any inclination on Wednesday or Friday at training, press conference, that anything was a foul or a miss with Sam with the team. So this seems like a recent occurrence, and we just have to hope, I think, at this point that whatever's going on is resolved quickly. Both player and the team come to an understanding. There's whatever needs to happen to mend the fences occurs, and we can move on from this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just have to wait how this develops. But just after seeing the lineup, yeah, I was a little bit concerned just because the only natural striker in today's game in the lineup is Joao Klaus. And yeah, Nuk Vitorison can play there. And I thought, yeah, maybe he will get a chance to play extended minutes and show what he can do. And he had a good showing, in my opinion. So yeah, it's more of guys stepping up when they are needed, when somebody's not available. But we'll see what happens with Sam Adeniran this week. Hopefully it's just something minor and he will be back and available to play against Sporting KC.
Yeah, so looking back at the game and how this progressed, because we'll get into the subs here in a minute if you want to pull that up when we did our subs. I think the most, the biggest thing I took away from the first half is just how similar it was to previous games. So many times in the past week or two, we've been talking to Bradley Carnell, to Klaus, and just asking what needs to change in our attack. What needs to occur to let this team be better, to be more clinical in their finishing? And it was a wait-and-see approach. It was patience. Bradley Carnell especially has been very, very consistent with his messaging about be patient, the finishes will come, the clinical abilities in our final third will come. We're doing so many positive things to get the ball in good positions. We're getting so many shots off. We're putting our players in good positions. So be patient. The finishing will come. And he's stuck with so much of the same lineup, Klaus at the top namely, but this was the first game AZ didn't start in a while, and so sticking with him, AZ was the first sub in the 60th minute, sticking with him so often through his perceived troubles, but it's very clear that whether it's the first half or into the second half before the goal was scored, so much of what everybody sees as a finishing problem, Bradley Carnell sees as everybody's doing everything else so effective. They're being so sticking to their principles when it comes to the middle third defensively, to two-way playing, to working the ball up how they need to putting themselves in good positions. And to see this finally be the reward for that, I asked Bradley Carnell post-game, does this feel like a weight has been lifted? And he brushed that off too. He basically said, this isn't so much a weight lifted as it's just rewarding yourself for that consistent work that you know you're doing well. The first half ended with Austin having one shot, none on goal, that didn't come until the 45th minute. Offensively, everything that we saw was St. Louis City. The numbers really showed that, while I said earlier, St. Louis was having issues in connecting and just a few seconds off with some of their touches, overall, this was a match where Austin was possessing, but St. Louis was attacking.
Yeah, Austin wasn't dangerous. As we mentioned, only one shot. Possession-wise, Austin had 60% of the possession, St. Louis 40. But as Rasmus Almeluden post-game, they weren't doing much with the ball, just moving it from side to side. But when they got in the final third, they weren't creating dangerous options. But yeah, this is one of those games, low possession for St. Louis, but lots of shots, and that just, you can... Austin had the ball, but St. Louis had the best opportunities, and the defense did a good job containing Austin. And during the week, we were concerned about Sebastian Drewsy's form, and he scored 2 goals and assisted in 1 in the last 2 games, which Austin won. But today, I didn't see much of him. For moments of the game, I didn't really notice he was in the game at all. Did you notice the same thing?
Same thing. Towards the end of the game, I had to check just to make sure he was still in the match, looking for that number 10 out there, because he had been so effective. 9 shots at one point in the past couple of games. He had 2 shots. He had both of Austin's shots in this game, but I think they had one towards the second half. Neither of them were anywhere near effective. I think their XG was a total of like 0.2 or something like that. It was just abysmal from an Austin perspective. They have to be as frustrated as I think St. Louis was after the RSL game, where we had just nothing created. That was the anomaly for our season. Austin, it was almost a return to their early season form where they couldn't get any shots. And I see that as incredibly reassuring for St. Louis City's back line. The one big difference that I've seen in our back line this year versus last year is a propensity for both fullbacks to move forward. We have Anthony Markkanen, we have Thomas Totland, both attacking-minded, two-way playing fullbacks. And when you're having both of them press up and trying to have a symmetrical attack, you're leaving yourself prone to transitions, prone to counters. That's where Roman Berkey said post-game that he was playing a part of the defensive back line, where the center backs were spreading themselves a little wider. Berkey was stepping up as more of a backline player because he wasn't doing anything else. They were so effective at limiting Austin to the middle third of the field for large portions that Berkey was able to come out and play and allow our center backs to go to the sides, allowing our fullbacks to both press forward. It was exciting to see that. It was exciting to not realize that Sebastian Driussi was on the field for large periods of time. And then all of that, Santi, I think, led to the Klaus goal. So do you want to talk through what you saw when Klaus actually scored his goal?
Yeah, so before we go into that, you were talking about XG.
Yeah.
Austin had 0.3 XG. St. Louis had 1.6.
So we overperformed our XG, basically.
Hey, we keep seeing that.
Yeah, or underperformed, I guess.
Underperformed,
it would be.
So yeah,
1 goal to 1.8 XG. That's not St. Louis City style, but glad to see it. It worked, and it speaks to the volume of chances that we had. Getting a little bit better with our putting ourselves in good positions, because we talked on Tom Schwartz's show, 590 The Fan, SCL Soccer United, that we're a volume-based team, right? We don't create the highest XG chances per shot, but tonight it really seemed like we were, when we did shoot the ball, we had like 11 shots, 4 on target. They were a little bit better positioned.
Yeah, and it was one of those games that the first half scoreless, and then we go into the second half, and early in the second half, not much chance creation. But the 57th minute came, and City Park exploded with Joao Klaus reunited with the goal, and a great play on the right side, Thomas Totland finding Rasmus Alm, and Rasmus Alm just had the perfect touch to put it in the center of the box, and Joao Klaus, and he said it post-game, it wasn't the best shot, but it was enough to go past Brad Stuber, and it was enough to win the game. First time, Matt, that City wins 1-0 at City Park.
I saw you tweet that after the game. That is an incredible stat, and I think it speaks not just to our continued little frustration with finishing, but also just how well defensively we've been performing these past few weeks. Let's talk about the goal itself, because I think having had so many transition moments, you know, Rasmus Alm said post game that they were happy to let Austin possess the ball because they were so ineffective with challenging them. Berkey spoke to this as well. But when you're doing all of your damage off the counterattack with being so quick in your transitions, this seemed like a quintessential St. Louis goal and what they tried to do. But it also included a good awareness of the field and taking Austin's press and turning it against them, because the ball was being moved up the left side of the field at first, drawing in a little bit of an overload, Austin putting some pressure on St. Louis's left side, and there was this big switch. There was a big switch over to Thomas Totland as he's running down the right channel, the right half space. And Totland received it, carried the ball. First of all, it was an amazing reception. The way he corralled that ball was so impressive. And his vision to draw the defenders into him, play the ball off to Rasmus Alm on his right, and then Alm played it so effectively on the ground, finding space to get through to Klaus. Klaus with the almost toe-flicked finish, where he didn't give himself enough credit for the quality of finish it was. But I also asked Klaus, was this any different than what you had been doing previously? Did this goal feel like it was in any way a different build-up? And he said, you know, no, this is just the same thing. It's the same thing we've been doing, and finally we're rewarded for it. And not just for Klaus finding net, finally getting, exercising the demon, so to speak, right? getting that, whether he wants to admit it or not, getting that off his shoulders, finding an open play goal. I think the way that it involves so many players who are in such good form really shows what St. Louis has been effective at. Starting with Tomas Ulstrak, Thomas Tatlin, Rasmus Alm, Klaus. These are some of the most crucial key players for City. And to see all of them involved in this goal is both rewarding for them, but also it really adds that momentum to what we're seeing going forward.
Yeah. And now the team goes to Kansas City to play in this first installment of the derby against Sporting KC. And it goes with a victory that was needed. Bradley Carnell had talked about it when you asked him last week, I think it was, about the blocks of five games, and he mentioned the games against Dallas and Austin were like two finals for the team, because the last two games of this five game stretch are away against Sporting KC, then you get your bye week and then go to Houston. So it's important to find goals for Klaus, find a win, put another win on the standings, and now City moves into a position tied with a couple more teams with 11 points. And yeah, sometimes you are like tempted to draw comparisons to last year, but a lot of times I think it's last year. This year is different, and the team is doing it in a different way. And it's good to see some of these well-fought matches against teams like Austin, that even though they have the ball a lot, don't create much, but are also They also are good defensively, and City was able to create some chances and finally score one for Joao Klaus.
Santi, do you want to pull up some of the player stats? Because I think as we talk about some of the players of the match, you start with Klaus, obviously, in just his finish, first of all. That's the obvious man of the match right there. But so much of what he was doing to be a target in the middle of the field, and not just offensively, because Klaus has this year, more than anything, shown himself to be such an effective two-way player. He got a lot of flack, I think, for the different style that he offered from Sam Adeniran, and how he wasn't seen as being effective at facilitating or finishing for the rest of our offense. Coming back to the ball, back to goal. When he's passed the ball, he just swarmed, and nothing's being created. But this game, I think, really showed what we saw and what we missed from Klaus last year. Having that big presence in the box to receive crosses, to be the player who can find space in and around the defense. There's just a lot of exciting things that he was offering off the ball, just as much as he did in that goal, and his ability to play and help defensively. That can't be understated. He is one of the key reasons why Austin was having such difficulty getting the ball into their final third, why the middle third of the field was being controlled so much by St. Louis City. And it all starts in a lot of ways with Klaus, with the guys up top and how they initiate the press. This was another game where St. Louis was very effective at that. And it spoke to what Rasmus Alm told us post-game, that their press was extremely effective. And Austin, in trying to counteract that press, was more content with moving the ball around horizontally, getting so many passes, getting so much on-the-ball work, but not really progressing it up the field. So looking at the stats, defensively, Klaus did great. How many shots did Klaus have?
So FB Rev doesn't have our stats for today, but
one of the benefits of doing this live posting,
yeah,
right?
And on MLSsoccer.com,
three shots though. Klaus had three shots, it looked like, total.
Yeah.
And that kind of
there we go.
you know, that kind of spoke to missing just a few chances. So in the first half, one of my biggest takeaways was the fact that the stat line didn't show what a lot of the really dangerous moments for City were, because they had the ball in the final third, but they weren't actually getting shots off because they were just missing themselves by a hair.
Yeah, so three shots by Klaus. AC Jackson, who came in the 61st minute, had two, and both of them were on target. Kijima had one shot, which was a great combination with Nugby Torreson towards the end of the game. Anthony Markanic had one. Torreson had one. Thomas Totland one. And Vasilev two. One on target, which was that free kick on the first half.
So they spread it around. They spread the ball around a whole lot. And after the goal, after the goal, it kind of changed things from Austin's perspective. I noticed Austin was a lot more... They were more brave, more willing to press. They were just definitely trying, a little more eager to make St. Louis, to disrupt St. Louis. And that's probably obvious. I mean, you think you're going down, you're away, so now you're no longer playing for the tie. But if you're going down, what do you have to lose? You're being a little more, you're opening yourself up a little more, being more aggressive. And that ended up playing into St. Louis's favor, because it was in the, after the subs, you know, you had Nuki Thorsen, you had AZ Jackson come on.
Yeah, so that was on the 61st minute, Thorsen and Jackson coming for
just a few minutes after the Klaus goal.
For Vasilev and Rasmus Alm. Then Austin followed with Emiliano Rigoni on the 65th, going for Hader O'Brien. Then they did a man, they put Sam Kolmanich for Biru, the Brazilian, but it was more like a man for man. But then they took out Owen Wolf and put Jassy Sardis, and towards the end, Austin had four strikers.
Yeah, Austin went for it. And concurrently with that, St. Louis in, the 84th minute started to, what I referred to at that point was, it looks like they're parking the bus. You know, they bring on Nicholas Dewar, they bring on Jose Kojima, they bring on Jake Nowinski after a few more minutes. They get to a point where they get Kyle Hebert off the field, they get Jose Kojima on for fresh legs in the midfield, and then when you make that Jake Nowinski for Klaus sub to end the game, you think, okay, we're at 90 minutes, we're up one, stoppage is what it's going to be. 10 minutes of stoppage, you need these fresh legs, we're going to park the bus. But the first play after we park the bus, so to speak, with our bringing in Jake Nowinski, go with a five at the back, we have this beautiful opportunity that Nuki Thorsen orchestrates to give, of all people, Jose Kojima an opportunity to almost make it 2-0.
He almost did that Jose Kojima thing again, going into a game and scoring a few minutes later. And I just want, this says Nicholas Dewar, but it was Joachim Nielsen.
Oh, that's right.
For Kyle Heber. So our bad, but...
MLS is bad. They list Nicholas Dewar. So if you're listening to this on the podcast and you're thinking, what? No, this was Joachim Nielsen. They talked about it earlier.
Right.
Yeah, it's late. It's late after the game. You know, the minds aren't where they usually are. The stats aren't at our fingertips. But Joachim Nielsen coming in, adding to that back line. Jake Nowinski playing that right center back. And then creating the chance for Jose Kojima. St. Louis did what they needed to do in stoppage to keep Austin from having any kind of dangerous opportunity. They didn't have another shot in stoppage. This is a team that knew the assignment, and they were very adept at it. So besides Klaus, besides Bradley Carnell noting that it was 11 players plus who were acting as one, playing a true team game, doing exactly what they needed to do, the obvious players to tout out are continued great play by Tomas Ostrak. Thomas Totland had some amazing passes, continues to be stalwart on the right side. Rasmus Alm played 60 minutes. He told us that his body, let's take a moment for Rasmus Alm, because as we go through these players, Rasmus Alm post-game really reinforced that he is healthy.
Yeah.
How open was he in saying that he feels healthy for the first time, which last year apparently he didn't feel healthy for a single game, and now he's saying he's fully healthy.
Right. He said, last year I played 21 games, but I was in a lot of pain, and he's happy to be back and healthy. And today was the first time he played more than 45 minutes. He said, and he's hard on himself. He said, like, physically I felt well, but performance-wise wasn't great. But I like what I saw from Rasmus Alm, but you know, he may be holding himself to higher standards.
Well, I don't doubt it. And the way he owns the press, the way he's that two-way player that we really love to see Without Sam, I think Rasmus Alm offers a lot of what Sam Edendoran does, but on the right side. And so it's not quite a plug and play because they do have different attributes, but you're not missing as much speed in the final third when you have Rasmus Alm out there. In fact, I think I saw a stat against FC Dallas where he was the second fastest player. At one point, he broke 20 miles an hour running down the field. That's the kind of speed that Rasmus Alm can bring. So if you're thinking about, we're missing Sam, yeah, but we're gaining a much healthier Rasmus Alm, who now goes 60. So he's advancing from 45 to 60. Look for him to remain in this starting lineup going forward, regardless of anybody else. We're seeing certain players become almost indispensable and play themselves into must-start scenarios, right? And it's not just Rasmus Alm, it's not just Klaus, it's not just Indiana Vasilev, but you're looking at really all 11 here. Celio Pompeu is in that conversation. The back line in its form right now, where Joachim Nielsen, Tim Parker, Thomas Totlin, Anthony Markkanen, this is a team that really seems to be finding themselves in this week-in, week-out play.
Even Thomas Ostrak, when Eero Luven comes back, if he takes that position, Thomas Ostrak could be in the conversation for playing centrally or playing in one of the wings. It's just another option, just because he's playing so well and the fact he has gotten so many minutes. And even though it's not his position, he has accepted the challenge and he's taking the best out of it.
Santi, we got to get out of here. It's getting late. It's getting dark in downtown West St. Louis. Any final words for this game? We have a ton coming this week. We've got a midweek report for MLS. We have a huge preview for the Derby match, Sporting Kansas City, coming next weekend. It's going to be a fast week because it's already Sunday as we're recording this, and it's going to be Monday morning when you're listening to it on the pod. So any final words from this match?
Yeah, no, just happy to see the team getting that win, rewarding for the great performance. It was two very difficult games against FC Dallas and Austin, 4 points out of six. And this closes the season series against Austin. And this could be important down the road, St. Louis getting 4 points out of six against Austin and remains undefeated in its MLS history against Austin with 3 wins and one draw.
You can't call it a rivalry. You can't call it competitive when you have that kind of a stat. Santi, you want to bring up the standings real quick so we'll get everybody a view of where St. Louis sits going into match day 9 for them against Sporting Kansas City. And if you're one for the standings, you're going to like how this week is playing out. Not only did St. Louis pick up all 3 points against Austin FC, but they have jumped up into playoff position. They're sitting 8th in the MLS West on 11 points. But who are they right above, Santi?
They are right above next week's opponent. So this will be number 8 against number 9 at Children's Mercy Park next week. But St. Louis has 11 points tied with LAFC and Minnesota. But LAFC and Minnesota have won more games, which is the first tiebreaker. They have 3 wins. St. Louis has 2, but only 1 loss. So, it's different compared to last year. I was thinking last year St. Louis won 6 out of the first 8, but had 2 losses and 2 difficult losses against Minnesota here, against Seattle at Seattle 3-0. So it's a different way to do it. And we have talked about this on the pod and even outside of it. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So there are different ways to do it, different ways to get to the playoffs, and as St. Louis starts getting healthier and getting back some of the players who have been out the last few games, the bye week will come at a good time also after this game against Sporting KC, chance for some players to recover. So it's a different way to do it, but the team is getting the points it needs to get in playoff positions, and it's a good season overall so far.
8 matches, 11 points. We're not just seeing consistency with St. Louis in what they do on the field, but if you're going through the injury concerns that St. Louis has had, where they've had, Sam has been out now this match. You know, we don't know yet what his future holds in the near term, but you're missing Luven, you've missed Nielsen, Parker. You've had multiple issues across the field, and you're still remaining this competitive, still playing every single game where you're comfortable with the number of chances created, and now you're starting to potentially turn that corner with finishing. You get the 3 points for the momentum. This match would have looked markedly different had we lost, because we would have not only been out of playoff position, which is way too early to talk about, but we would have been at the bottom in the cellar of the West. And now we're looking at a point where we're just 2 points shy of second place Vancouver. So this is a very congested Western Conference that we're very much a part of now. And we're positioning ourselves really well, getting some of these players healthy, rounding into form with some of the players like Klaus, and overall playing the consistent style that Bradley Carnell wants.
Yeah, yeah. The table is so congested. First place has 15 points. And, yeah, just continue, get a couple good results on these two next away games and maybe continue going up on the table. But doing things in a different way, I like the way the team has. And you still don't see it on the stats, but you can see the team is more comfortable when it has the ball and has to progress it throughout the field, and it's not like just long balls and long balls. The team has found a way to progress the ball with touches, and I like seeing that.
All right, that's it for us for Flyover Footy. I'm Matt Baker, joined by Santiago Beltran. Thank you for sticking with us on this very special edition of Flyover Fallout. When St. Louis plays a different time slot than their Saturday night, we do things differently. For all of you joining us on Instagram Live, thank you so much. It's our first one of these that we're doing live in person, and we're at City Park. So if you've stuck with us this long on the pod too, thank you. Hopefully the audio issues weren't terrible, because it's been fun to be here, fun to experience this 1-0 City win. And we'll see you later this week.
Vamos, City! We'll be right back.